No elaborate health insurance for this man. No medication approved by the FDA. No trained brain surgeon. Not even the spiritual people in society. The disciples could help this child. They weren't strong enough. This was no ordinary sickness that we might label epilepsy. This was not a disease the local doctor could cure. This child had something much, much worse, and that is, he had a demon. A deaf-mute demon that would seize him, shake him, throw him to the ground, and cause him to foam at the mouth and gnash his teeth. And as if that wasn't enough, oftentimes the demon would go the extra mile and throw this child into fire and into water. The purpose? To destroy him. That's what demons do. They destroy people through whatever means necessary. The situation looked hopeless for the father of this child. His only begotten son. That's what Luke's gospel says. This was the only begotten son of this father. And all he could do was watch in horror and in despair whenever his child would become seized by the demon, writhing and twisting on the ground, foaming at the mouth, gnashing his teeth, with nothing anyone could do about it. Helpless, distraught, defeated, knowing he couldn't help his only begotten son, this father brings his child into the presence of Jesus, a child who was powerless against demonic possession. However, in the presence of Jesus, when he comes before the Son of God, we behold once again the power, the mercy, the compassion, and the majesty of our great Lord and our God, who only has to speak, and the demon flees the child forever. Come out of him, and never enter him again, decrees our Lord Jesus Christ. And like that, problem solved. With only a word of our Lord Jesus, the devil is put to flight, never to again enter this child who now lives healed by Jesus. A story, friends, that starts so tragically has a happy ending for the Father and the Son here in this earthly life. And when we hear what the Father received, that is to say, healing for his Son, we want it too, don't we? And rightly so. We want healing for ourselves, for our families, our friends, our loved ones, our children, and so we should tune in to the words of Jesus, who speaks to us in the present, even as he says to the Father, "All things are possible for those who believe." All things are possible for those who believe. These words, Christians, should comfort us. These words should embolden us to pray with courage and confidence. These words remind us that it is by faith in Jesus Christ that we have everything we need physically and spiritually. Furthermore, this word assures us that even something as bad as demonic possession has no chance in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God. All things are possible for the one who believes. And yet, and unfortunately, our sinful flesh, our old Adam, isn't inactive when we hear these words of our Lord. All things, huh? Okay. So let's see. Does this mean if I believe, I'll win the Powerball and be able to buy that bass boat I've been salivating over? There are a lot of nice lakes in this area. If I believe that, does that mean it's going to happen? All things are possible, so does that mean if we really believe, a government can give us our daily bread and fully function in the stead of God? Will it happen? Maybe a regime change in November will be a good thing and be able to solve all of our earthly problems. All things are possible for the one who believes. So does this mean that as God's people, we possess power to name it and to claim it? If we really believe something, then on account of our faith, our request will be granted. No questions asked. All things, that's what Jesus says, if that is true. Then let's have an altar call. If you need some healing, just come on down and I'll put my hands on you. And by our faith, we'll get what we're after. Anybody? Anybody? I don't see anybody rushing up here, and that's a good thing. Healing comes from God when and where He decides it should be given. Again, these words should console us and give us peace. All things are possible for the one who believes. Christian, never ever forget, the possibilities truly are endless for the believer in Jesus Christ. All things are possible. That being said, the Christian also lives and prays a particular way, and that is, when we pray, friends, we do it in the name of God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And by praying in the name of God, that means we do not come to God with the attitude of, gimme, 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 now, 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 demanding that God meets every one of our felt needs or else, demanding that God grants every one of our heart's desires, even those sinful desires. It's not the attitude the Christian should have, and it is not how the Christian has been instructed to pray. Praying in the holy name of Jesus means praying while knowing, yes, all things are possible for God, and that means He knows things we don't know. He sees things that we do not see, therefore let His will be done, not mine. Lord, You know far better than I do as to what I need. Therefore, let Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Strengthen us in the faith. Break and hinder every evil plan of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let His kingdom come. Keep us firm, dear Lord, in Your word and in the faith until we die. Such is the plea of the Christian, praying in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, if, Christian, it is healing that you seek, physically or spiritually, pray for it, knowing that healing will be yours. Now, for reasons that we do not know, perhaps God, out of His unsearchable wisdom, has decided to prolong your suffering for reasons He has chosen not to reveal. That's okay, because God also promises us this mighty word in Holy Scripture. For those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. That's Romans 8:28. Please hear it again. For those who love God, all things work together for good, according to those called to His purpose. Healing may not come as soon as you want it. To be honest, it may not even come in this earthly life. But it will come. All the aches and pains of your body, from epilepsy to sore knees, from creaky backs to dementia, from Parkinson's to cancer, all of it will be gone in the blink of an eye when the perishable puts on the imperishable, when the mortal body puts on immortality. On the day of the resurrection, friends, when you behold your Savior in the flesh, you will do so free from every sinful ailment that has ever besieged this fallen world. When your loving Lord and Savior finally does decide to take you from this valley of sorrow, giving you a gracious and blessed end to be with Himself in heaven, no longer will you have to worry about surgeries, sicknesses, suffering, and disease. All of it will be gone at the resurrection. And this gift is yours to look forward to by faith in your Savior and your Deliverer, Jesus Christ. By faith, it is yours, Christian. And it's not a matter of if these things will happen. No, it's a matter of when they happen. You see, the Father in today's text, He gets a lesson from Jesus, because He uses a conditional statement to make a request. If you can do anything, have compassion on us. Not exactly what you say to the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, right? If you can do something. Such a statement lacks that unwavering faith that our Lord commands His people to have. With God, we have certainty. We have an assurance that is founded upon His sure and certain word. With God, friends, it is not if you can do something, but it is, as He says, all things are possible for those who believe. And yet, friends, we know faith is a tricky thing, isn't it? Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we panic. Sometimes we worry. Sometimes we don't believe everything God says he can do in his holy word, and we need to be reminded, all things are possible for the one who believes. The Father's response to all of this is a picture-perfect snapshot of the Christian life when he says, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. Help my panicking, Lord. Help me because I worry too much. Help me, dear Lord, because I so often become afraid. Help my unbelief, Lord, an unbelief so deeply rooted in my sinful flesh. Faith is never far from the effects of sin. Faith is never free from the attacks and temptations of this world that want to divert our attention away from God to something else. We hear about demons in today's gospel reading. Nowhere in Scripture does it say the demons, the devil's henchmen, will stop bothering God's people in this life. They do in a variety of ways, and sometimes with the Father we too cry out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Friends, at the moment when you are in despair and in agony, when you believe that unbelief is crouching at your door, and when you feel, friends, as if your faith has been beaten down to a tiny speck, recall that it is not the size of your faith, or it is not the strength of your faith, may it be weak or strong, that saves, but it is the object of your faith. It is what faith grabs hold of and clings to. He delivers. He is the one who rescues. He is the one who saves. You see, the Father may have been struggling with unbelief, but by faith, the Father still looks at Jesus and says the words, I believe. On account of the object of faith, our Lord Jesus Christ, we hear that the dividing wall of hostility between us and God, there because of our sin, has been torn down by Jesus' cross and blood. It is by the object of our faith that we hear we are reconciled to God, no more separated from God because of our sin. Rather, we have been delivered from the domain of darkness, transferred into the kingdom of Christ, in whom we have, yes, forgiveness, redemption, salvation. Given these promises that we hear from God's sure and certain word, when we feel as if our faith is wavering, when, along with the Father in today's text, you want to cry out, I believe, help my unbelief, take heart and do not be afraid. Remember, Christian, it is what faith, large or small, grabs hold of. It is what faith clings to, strong or weak, and that is your Savior Jesus, through whom you have a resurrection of the body to look forward to, through whom you have unbridled access to God, your Savior Jesus, through whom you do have life, salvation, you have healing, and you have forgiveness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, keep all of your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.